head coach of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, Jeff Ross. Today I'm with Matt Jones, Kevin Harnett, Pat Forty. I'm with the new Chariot, Kristen Wall, United States Congressman John Yarman, Sarah Bohanser, and
welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am Podcast Network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
And thank you very much for downloading the Rusty Satellite Show. This is your host, Rick Redding, bringing you each and every week the most interesting people in the Ville. 179 straight weeks we've been doing that, and this week is no exception. I have some great guests. I'm first going to introduce you to a repeat customer here at the Rusty Satellite Show. Mindy Peterson has been intimately involved in the Bridges Project as a spokesperson, and you know, the East End Bridge is about finished. So I thought it would be a good time to have her on. We'll talk about a lot of bridge-related stuff, and that's all great. In the second part of the show, I'm really excited about a new event that's coming to town, and it's got a catchy name. It's called Lou Year's Eve. Guess when it is. That's right. It's on January 31st right here in downtown. And Lucy Dalton is a longtime Louisville resident who just experienced a New Year's Eve in several other cities. They have this celebration of the arts. And so she took it upon herself to help get this event organized with the mayor. I'm going to tell you a lot more about it. There's a lot of arts related, and they're going to close Main Street on New Year's Eve. You can go out, like, choose your favorite. You know that UofL and UK are both playing bowl games on New Year's Eve, and they're both at 11 o'clock. They're playing at the exact same time. So it works out great that you can watch Louisville whoop up on LSU, or watch Kentucky lose to Georgia Tech, and then after the game, go downtown and celebrate the art. It's going to be a really great event, and Lucy has all the details for you. I'm really excited about it. One of the people is Dave Moisen, who was the famous person from Louisville who competed on The Voice and did really well, the NBC television show. So that's really exciting, and I can't wait to introduce you to Lucy. It's really going to be fun. First of all, I want to tell you about my sponsors. Passport Health Plans have been a sponsor of mine for some time now, and really appreciate their support of the program, along with the Eye Care Institute, where today, as a matter of fact, I called. It was so simple. It was one phone call. I reordered my contacts. I got a six-month supply, and, you know, it was just easy, no hassle. Kelly down there took care of me on the telephone, and in about 5 days, I'm going to go down there and pick up my contacts, and I'm all set for another 6 months. So that's great. They do have a referral program down there. Call them at 502-589-1500. You can talk a friend of yours into going down there and getting some treatment. You might get a gift card from Amazon, which comes in very handy this time of year. I've been spending a lot of time on Amazon trying to figure out what to get for Christmas, and so that's kind of fun. So anyway, there is a lot of activity going on in our town as we head toward the holidays, or the big holiday of Christmas, and I'm very excited about it. I've got a lot of stuff to tell you about in the second part of the show, because we have a lot of activity, let's just say, involving former Rusty Satellite Show guest, and it's all very fun, and I'm looking forward to telling you about it. But first, I really have a great interest in the Bridges Project as a person who drives a lot. I'm an Uber and Lyft driver, and you know, if you want information about that, now's a great time to pick up some side money, the ultimate side hustle, they call Uber, and I'd be glad to fill you in and tell you about how to become a driver like me. But the bridge driving has become much better in this city in the last 6 months. If you've been downtown, the Spaghetti Junction is really smooth now. There are no bumps. It's easy to tell where you're going, what to do, and all that. So it's a very successful project. But as you may have anticipated, there's always a price to pay, and tolls are coming. And so I brought you this interview with Mindy Peterson to fill you in on what the tolls are. I did sign up the other day on riverlink.com to get my little sticker that goes on my car. It's free. I put $25 in my account, and we'll see what happens with that. Mindy can't tell you, as she'll say in the interview, exactly what day the tolling will start on the bridges, the East End Bridge, the as yet unnamed East End Bridge, and the Lincoln and the Kennedy downtown. The Sherman Minton and the Clark Memorial are still free, no matter what. So anyway, I've got all the details with Mindy. She's a light. She's a fun person to have as a spokesman for this. So urge you to buckle in, stay tuned for the Rusty Satellite Show, and here is my interview with Mindy Peters.
I had no use for health insurance, but my mom was always saying, sign up for Passport. And I was like, Mom. She was like, for my peace of mind. It got to be where I needed peace of mind, so I did. Now my mom, she can chill. And I feel pretty good about it, too.
Together we can all feel better. Call 1-800-578-0603 and ask for Passport. That's 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan, working together for a healthier Kentucky.
All right, we're almost to the end with Mindy Peterson. A rare second time appearance on the Rusty Satellite Show. Mindy, aren't you?
I feel very honored and privileged.
You must be
absolutely.
Well, I mean, there's two bridges. There should be two Mindy Peterson interviews, right?
I like your thinking. Absolutely. You know, it has been an exciting one to be a part of. It really has. I work on the downtown crossing, and I work with Riverlink. So my involvement started just before they had the groundbreaking for the downtown crossing. And so I was there for the entire ride. I was there before the first shovel of dirt. We had the groundbreaking in summer of 2013.
Wow.
So construction was just shy of 3.5 years.
Wow.
They have hit substantial completion. We did our downtown crossing the finish line event. You see what we did there? Downtown crossing, crossing the finish line.
Very cool.
We had that event. And truly, major work is done. That was done in mid-November, November 18th for the downtown crossing. Any drivers downtown have seen Kennedy, wide open, 6 lanes southbound. Lincoln, wide open.
As someone that drives that all the time, it's amazing how much more fun it is to drive through there now.
You know, I have gotten more comments about the Kennedy Bridge. And you know, I received a lot of comments about the Lincoln, of course, when that opened. But that's been open for nearly a year now. Well, just over a year. So that's been with us for a while. But when the Kennedy opened and then fully opened to 6 lanes, I just think it feels so different. It looks so different. It feels wide open. I think that people are enjoying the ride, and they should. It's a much smoother ride. People love the...
It's not bumpy, and the curves aren't as sharp.
That's exactly right. And on the bridge itself, the pavement markings, I've gotten more comments on those than probably anything else associated. You know, never mind that they did $22 million of improvements. I like the pavement markings. But,
there you go.
But they are nice. I mean, they'll let you know exactly what lane you need to be in. And you know, before the project, you sat there and everybody was squeezed into one lane, whether you're going 64 East, 64 West, 71, didn't matter. It was one lane, and then we spit you out at the end. Every one of those now has a dedicated lane on the bridge. And so those are the improvements
we're talking about.
It's hard to mess up. Yeah.
It's hard to mess up. Okay. We're talking now because the bridges are in the news a lot because of not your project, the East End Bridge, is coming to an end.
And that is exciting. So they made the announcement that the East End Bridge is going to open to traffic on December 18th. That's a Sunday. They're going to do a celebration in advance, which I've not been part of that planning, but I know that it's going to be, you know, a nice ribbon cutting. They're going to have some folks out there talking about what a great bridge this is, how important it is. And then they're going to let the first 500 people who sign up take a drive across that brand new bridge. And it's another beautiful bridge. But not only that, the big deal with the East End Bridge, and you know, anybody who's lived in this area, it has not been years, it has been decades that people have waited for that bridge, because I like to say any child could look at a map and they'd see a point here and a point there, and there was no way to get from A to B.
Right.
And now 35,000 plus people are expected to use that East End Bridge. 35,000 drivers who don't have to go 8 miles plus downtown to cross the river. You think that's not a game changer? That is quality of life game changer for those folks.
Well, yeah, I know a lot of people are like me as a grizzled media veteran up until it actually happened, said, I'll never see these bridges in my lifetime.
And here we are. I can't tell you how many. I talked to people last year when we celebrated the Lincoln opening. I had many people say, never thought. I'm like, you're here. And some of those folks were on walkers, some were in wheelchairs, some were babies in strollers. But we had all ages and all kinds of folks out on the Lincoln Bridge to celebrate it. And I'm sure we'll see a very diverse crowd with the East End. It is something to celebrate, because anybody who's been in this community knows it has been a long time coming, and we are here now. We have two brand new bridges that are going to be fully open to traffic. That's all exciting, good stuff.
Yeah, and like Utica, I heard a guy on the radio this morning, I don't know if you heard this, he was in a hurry or something, he said, the bridge crossing over to Utica, New York. Utica, nobody knows much about, really, because it's like it's like way up there, but now it's going to be right across the river.
Everything, you know what? It's going to be a lot soon is going to be the answer, because you can go now and already see development, a lot of development in Utica, in the area. And these are businesses that know that this bridge changes It changes what opportunities are available. It changes Utica. Come back 5 years, 10 years. Do you think you're going to recognize that area? Big, exciting changes are on the way. So it's going to be fun to see all of that kind of play out now.
Okay, so I can be. Can I still sign up to be one of the first to cross?
You can. They're going to do sign up on Saturday. So I don't know all of the details for registration, but they have shared a link. And so first 500 to sign up will have a chance to cross. They're going to do. We did medallions for Walk the Bridge, which were insanely popular. People really took pride in those. And they're going to do a companion piece for the East End crossing and the opening, and they'll have a medallion that they give out.
But there's no walking out here.
No walking, although there is a walking path and bike path on the East End Crossing. So there can be walking. I don't think it's part of the official celebration. You'd have to check in with those folks. But this will be a police escort of a caravan of vehicles.
I didn't know that. I mean, on the regular part, you can
Yes, there will be a bike path. And I can imagine that's going to be insanely popular. Once upon a time, we talked about having a walk path. Bike path on the Lincoln as part of the new bridge, but instead that investment went toward the Big Four, and we said, let's make that a fantastic way to walk across, bike across the river, which it is. You know how popular that is. So there's going to be a nice loop people can make on the East End.
Seems like the East End has got to be a larger expanse. I mean, is it a bigger bridge, longer bridge?
Oh, geez, you're asking me questions.
Close?
Yeah, I could tell you exactly what the downtown is, but I couldn't tell you exactly what the East End is because I just haven't worked on that one.
Yeah.
So I would have to look up the numbers.
Okay.
But, you know, we're talking about a brand new option. That's what's exciting for drivers. This is where all of a sudden the folks who have said, I can physically look across the river, see where I want to go, but I have to still drive downtown to cross.
Right.
These are the folks who now don't have to do that.
Don't have to do
That's
that.
That's big.
Okay. Well, the other day I saw the media and I went onto your website and I signed up, gave my $25 to get started. This is all going to start costing money.
Yeah, so we have to pay for these beautiful new bridges. Nobody is just giving bridges away now. It's not happening. It would be nice. These mega projects, really, they're not happening across the country. You have to have what I call literal buy-in from the community, and that's tolling. And you know this debate went back decades. The only thing that moved it, the key thing that moved it from conversation to construction was when tolling entered the picture, because then they had a financing vehicle. When you do these big projects, you have to swallow the tough pill of how do we pay for it? And tolling is how we pay for this one.
Okay. So how many times have you been asked when the tolling starts?
I wish if I only had like a dime maybe for every time. My tolls would be paid for a very, very long time. So that is definitely the most asked question. And I said, I don't know that drivers are honestly that driven to give me a start date. Let me know when I'm going to have to. Of course, for planning, they need to know when it's going to start, but they know it's coming. I think it's more of this created, they know it's coming, let us know the date. I don't know that drivers care. They don't care if it's this date over this date, as long as we give them some notice and they know it's going to be happening.
Okay. So you're not answering the question of when it's actually
start. If I had an answer, I would give you an answer. The good pickup on that, the reason why is we are now testing the system, and the time to thoroughly, and when I'm talking about testing, big time, very thorough, very rigorous testing of the Riverlink system. And there are, I mean, it's not just cars going under gantries and cameras and sensors. It's all of the back office. It's different sizes of cars. It's cars that will get frequent user discount. It's easy passes from other states. Lots of parts and pieces that all have to go together. So that's what's being tested, and it should be tested now because you and I are involved. They're getting it all done before drivers are part of the picture. So when we cross that final hurdle on testing, that's when I can say, here's our date. So what I can tell you is it's going to be soon. Is that December? Probably. It will probably be tolling will likely start in December. Could that float? Well, since I can't tell you a date, it could, right?
Exactly.
I mean, I've had people ask me, Rick, in just about every way they can. Will it be before the East End opens, after the East End opens, before Christmas, after Christmas? And very honestly, if I had a date, I could answer each one of those questions.
Okay.
Best thing I can say, get ready. It is coming. It is coming very soon. If you have not opened your account, think about opening your Riverlink account. It saves you money.
Okay, so And downtown and the East End, those bridges will start tolling at the same time or not necessarily?
That's what I would anticipate. The only way that they would not is if tolling started before the East End Bridge opened, and I don't anticipate that being the case. So I would anticipate tolling to begin on all of the tolled bridges, Lincoln, Kennedy, East End, at the same time, and likely again in December.
Okay. And just so we're clear, people that don't want to pay them can go over the 2nd Street Bridge.
Right.
And Sherman-Minton's toll?
Sherman-Minton is toll-free. Clark Memorial is toll-free. Are those bridges going to see more traffic? Yes, there's going to be diversion, but people are also talking to friends, they're talking to coworkers, they're talking to family members who say, I'm getting home 20, 25, 30 minutes earlier. I'm making my dinner when the kids are still hungry.
Bucks.
Yeah. Well, it's $2 each way. But if you are a frequent user, we do have a frequent user discount. It's a high number, 41 way trips in a calendar month. If you make those 40 trips, you are getting a $40 credit. But, you know, I took issue the other day because there was a media report that they were talking to a gentleman who said, I live so close to the end of the East End Bridge. I can't wait for it to open. It's going to cut my commute in half, but I don't know how I'm going to pay that $2 toll. And I said, you just answered your own question. You're cutting your trip in half. Gas, time, wear and tear on car. AAA does they have a formula. Their number is 57 cents per mile. That's what you calculate. That's your savings. That's wear and tear. That's gas. That's everything else. You have to figure out how many miles that man is driving 8+ miles to get downtown. Where's his $2 coming from? 57 cents a mile. He is more than making up the $2.
So a couple more things. Last thing, people are obviously going to try to game it, right? They're taking a picture of your license plate. Mm-hmm. Couldn't I just flip my license plate around at the last second and then turn it back around when it?
Well,
why don't I do that?
Flipping it around, well, you're getting into things that you're not allowed to do, not allowed not to display the license plate. Also,
it is against the law, I guess.
Got to display that license plate. You know, there might be people who have devices. How effective are they? I don't know that they're that effective. How good are the cameras? The cameras are very good. They'll collect a stack of your photos. They'll track you down. I mean, is it worth it to try to game the system for your $2? Do the right thing. Stay on the legal side. You'll be in good shape. And there are options. But I would tell you this. $20 is what it takes to open your account. $20, you can add up to 4 vehicles. With that $20, that's your account balance. It's used for tolling. You buy yourself options. First day you get up, you hear that there's a crash on the Sherman-Minton. It's backed up for miles and miles. Guess what? That's the day you say, I'm going to use the Kennedy, and I have my transponder in the windshield, so I'm paying $2, not 4. All of it is, it doesn't have to be your primary route. That money, the balance carries over month to month. You don't have to use it all the time.
Well, Mindy, you have to talk to all these media people about all this, and, now it's over, so, what happens to you?
What's going to happen to Mindy? I know.
You must be looking for a job or something.
Well, I said I still have a job, which is fortunate. always good to know that one is employed, and I will be employed. But I said probably bridges. That word will come out of my mouth a lot less often now. I'm going to have to take a lot of knowledge that I've been lucky enough to soak up for the three plus years, and I'm going to have to shake that out and make room for some new knowledge in there. I feel like I have more knowledge than I would ever know about the construction process.
Yeah, there's got to be another bridge being built somewhere.
There has
you could
to be.
Move there.
That's
and
exactly
talk to
right.
The media there, about.
There will be other projects down the road for sure. And this has been, like I said, it's been a fun ride. This has been something this community has talked about so long to have kind of a not a front row seat, but pretty darn close. It's been fun. It's been exciting. And you still get me for a while because we're just starting tolling, and you got to work people through the beginning of that system, all the issues that go with that. So I'll still be around.
And as we know, the tolling never ends.
Tolling is with us for a really long time. If I were around as long as tolling were around, then I would have job security for a long, long time.
Yeah, as we used to say, not in my lifetime will I see the end of the tolls.
I'm Steve Coombs, and each week, Rick Redding and I record a new episode of Eat, Drink, Talk. We'll fill you up and fill you in on what's happening in Louisville's thriving drinking and dining scene. We bring you food news, interviews, and our take on what's happening around town. Find us on iTunes and download Eat, Drink, Talk.
All right, it was fun going up there to Mindy Peterson's office. She's worked for C2 Strategic Communications. That's up at the Flash Cube building out there on Shelbyville Road. She told me they're moving, believe it or not, into a new facility in Linden. So, good for them. I'm sure Mindy will find enough to do once all this bridge madness gets over with. So anyway, this part of the show, a lot of times I have a guest host here, but I'm here by myself today, and I've got a bunch of people to talk about, I guess. A lot of news involving in the city, involving people who have been on this show before. And I want to start by talking about a little bit about Eat, Drink, Talk. EatDrinkTalk.net is the website for the best restaurant and spirits news in the city. With my partner Steve Coombs, I talk about a lot of the news in that industry, and there's a lot going on over there. Some of the things I just mentioned, this week's my guest on the show this week is Tara Mattingly. She is the manager of The Table, and if you haven't been to The Table, it's down in Portland, and it's a really unique concept in dining. It's open 11 to 3 every day for lunch. I had lunch there the other day, had a great smoked chicken sandwich, you know, reasonably priced, but if you can't pay, you can stick around and wash dishes or something. They let you work off your meal if you choose to. They've got a unique it's a nonprofit run by a church, and it's a unique business down there. So they're very friendly too. I really enjoyed my time there. So encourage you to go over to eatdrinktalk.net and click on the talk, and you can hear that podcast. The other guest on that show, Steve, talked to Matthew Landon, who is the proprietor down there at the Haymarket Whiskey Bar. What a cool place that is. Matthew is quite a fun individual. I had him on this show back in November of 2014. Steve has a great interview with him this week. So I urge you to go over and check out that that podcast. One of the news stories I put up today, you know, if you've been in Butchertown, you know Andy Bleeden is the guy that behind Butchertown Market and a lot of those new businesses right up there at the corner where I guess Story turns into Main Street. And it was just announced that the Hall's Cafeteria down there in Butchertown is closing December 23rd, and Andy is likely to take that over. And it won't be Hall's Cafeteria anymore, but Andy hasn't said yet what he's going to do with that property, but it'll be it's bound to be something great as they continue to build up Butchertown. That's cool. So a lot of these notes I have here for the show today are about people who have been on the show in the past. Another thing that's going on this week related to Eat, Drink, Talk is that the Mile Wide Brewery is opening. It's behind Diamonds there on Barrett Avenue. And I went in there last Friday. It's a really cool place. Got to sample a bit of the product there. And a guy named Scott Treffler, who was on this show as a representative of Schlafly Beer, way back in 2014, is one of the four owners there. They have got it going on. The grand opening there is on Friday. So, you know, if you're into craft beer and you want to see a cool place, go down there to the Mile Wide Brewery on Barrett. That's a pretty cool place. All right, so there's some real news involving some people. You remember Tom Jurich was on this show back in September of 15, you know, and talking about the possibility. At that time, we were talking about the possibility of expanding the football stadium, and that has indeed become a reality. Jurich is he's a guy who says what's on his mind, and he was asked this week in an interview about the deal with the Yum Center. If you're following closely, you know that a lot of people around town, I guess, are complaining that U of L got such a great deal in terms of all the benefits they get for going down to the Yum Center that the Yum Center itself is having a hard time making money. And there's a movement afoot. Some people are talking about, hey, they wish U of L wouldn't renegotiate the deal. Well, that ain't going to happen, folks. Jurich came out this week in an interview and said, you know what? You know, I never wanted to go downtown anyway. We've got this great property over there where the silos used to be at U of L. I could go down and build a campus arena and bail on the Yum Center, and we'd be just fine down there. So I think that what that's going to do is basically put a kibosh on any talk about renegotiating the financial package that U of L has to play their games down there. The men's and women's team both play basketball down there, and it's Jurich is not a guy you mess with. I tell you, when it comes to money and negotiating, I think that's really all we're going to probably hear about that. Yeah, you know, U of L Athletics in good shape. The Cardinals, it was announced this week they're going to play on New Year's Eve against LSU in a bowl game in Orlando, Florida. That's going to be fun. I'm not sure how many people of my friends that follow Cardinal sports are going to go down there. But, hey, Florida, January, sounds like a good time. But, you know, the conflict is there's a basketball game, I think, against Indiana in Indiana on that on New Year's Eve as well. And of course, as we'll talk about later in the show, this big New Year's Eve celebration is going on right here in Louisville, downtown Louisville. So anyway, the other people I wanted to talk about, you remember it hadn't been that long ago, just last August, I had Tracy Beal in the studio. She is the former wife of Jonathan Blue, had a much publicized divorce, and she said she's going to start her own online publication, and it was called Tabs View, and it is no longer in business. Tracy announced in a story on Insider Louisville this week that she's ceasing operation of that enterprise. I think she had like 7 employees and was just dumping a ton of money in there and not getting much advertising support. Don't I know the story there? It's unfortunately that didn't happen. I didn't have high hopes that that would be a great success. But credit to Tracy for giving it her best shot and deciding, I guess, when to pull the plug. It was just last week. That operation is no longer. Just before that, in June of this year, I had Will Heiser on, and he is probably one of the most interesting interviews we've had on this show. But Will announced this week that he is starting something called Loop, L-O-U-P, which is an online comedy club, if you can believe that. Another online media property. We'll see how Will does. I wish him the best of luck. He's a great guy and is very funny and always interesting to be around. I'll tell you that. A very positive note for the city was that this week, Teddy Abrams, now all of 28 years old, is signed on for 3 more years as a conductor of the Louisville Orchestra. That is really great news because Teddy leads is definitely a leader in this city in terms of music. He shows up at a lot of venues where you don't expect an orchestra conductor to show up. And it reminds me, as an Amazon Prime subscriber, that Amazon Video is getting ready to air season 3 of that great series that I can't think of the name of about orchestra. It's a really good video series. I'll get it before we get off here, I'm sure. But Teddy is awesome, and he's going to be around our city for a while longer. You know, I did my interview at his place right there on Market Street in Nulu. It was really cool. So anyway, Teddy Abrams back in town, staying in town for a while. He is actually one of the only acts that I know that was announced this week as a participant in the Forecastle Festival, the 15th year, believe it or not. J.K. McKnight, the founder of that thing, he was on my very third show. There was show 1, show 2, and then J.K. was on the third show here back in 2014. It was great. In 2015, his now wife Holly was on the show as well, and just this year, I had Lauren Hendricks, who later became a guest co-host here. I really enjoy covering Forecastle, even though I honestly don't know many of the bands. But I do know Teddy Abrams and friends are going to play at Forecastle this year. They will probably have some more announcements about who's going to be on there, but. That is certainly something to look forward to. Forecastle. This time of year, it's getting cold, winter. It's time to talk about Forecastle, right? Okay, and the one last note. This is kind of a sad one for me, a good one for him, and good one for Louisville in general. Last Saturday, I went to Bowling Green with my buddy Mark Hebert, and we watched the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers under Coach Jeff Brohm put a hurting. It was just really a good game. I think it was 56-44. They beat up Louisiana Tech in a very entertaining football game, beautiful facility. Everything was great going down there at Western. And, you know, the thing that comes with success at Western are job offers. And Jeff Brohm, you kind of knew last year he could have gone somewhere and gotten a better job. This year, it was inevitable that the offer was coming would be too good to resist. Brohm was making $800,000 a year as the head coach at Western, which was a lot for Western. But not so much compared to what head football coaches are making around the country these days. So the winner in the Jeff Brohm sweepstakes turned out to be Purdue, surprisingly, announced when we were talking about Brohm's future down there. We kind of felt like there was going to be a good offer come to him. And he accepted the job at Purdue, which is only 3 hours away from here. And he is wanted to be close to his family, I suppose. And it's a challenge up there. Purdue's not a football power, but they have had some good teams in the past. Drew Brees played there, and Brohm has his work cut out for him up at Purdue. It was just announced this week he won't coach in the bowl game. The Toppers earned a trip to the Boca Raton Bowl. Now, that's the one I'd like to go to, December 20th in Boca Raton. Anyway, Western is playing Memphis down there in a bowl game. And Jeff Brohm, best of luck to him. He was on this show back before the 2015 season started, and it was really a great interview. I was really, really glad to be able to get him on the show. And lastly, as we round up our important people who have been on the show, before Derby this year, I had the Yascone sisters, Love, Faith, and Joy. They're very memorable. If you've ever seen them in person, I love them to death. They have purchased the Frankfort Avenue Coach House, and if you're listening to this on Thursday, they're having a big Prohibition Christmas party right there. Prohibition's repeal day was Monday, and so Thursday, December 8th, They are hosting a party to welcome people to know about this coach house on Frankfort Avenue. I haven't been there. I may drop in and see them. That's good. But anyway, Ballantine Whiskey with Paul Toole is a sponsor of that event, and it ought to be a good time. Like a lot of holiday parties, one thing I have on my schedule this week on Saturday, my buddy Andy Martin, one of my bowling buddies, he is hosting his As Seen on TV gift party. Here's a good idea for your friends. If you're looking for any interesting way to spend, do a gift exchange, we all bring presents, bring items from the As Seen on TV series of gifts. So, you know, it's all kinds of weird stuff that you might come home with, a chia pet or something like that. So that's what I'm going to Saturday night. That sounds like a lot. It's going to be a lot of fun, and really looking forward to it. All right, so let's get to our second guest. Her name is Lucy Dalton, and she lives up on Top Hill Road, which is a road I've not been on before. It's in right off of Lexington Road. She is quite the mover and shaker. She basically single-handedly saw this event in Boston. She'll tell you the whole story. But we are going to have a great public New Year's Eve event here in Louisville, Kentucky, thanks to this woman. Lucy got together, did some fundraising. She talked to the mayor. She got a team together, and this New Year's Eve event is going to involve a whole bunch of all the theaters down there on Main Street between 9th and 6th, I guess. They're going to close the road off, and it's going to be an all-day celebration. It's going to be called New Year's Eve. It was called Silent Night. It's been held in some 70 cities around the country, but the first time now here in Louisville. I suspect it's going to be something that happens for years to come. Lucy has ideas for other events involving she formed a nonprofit organization to hold this event, and it's news. I tell you, I hope you take note of what's going on here. This is really a big event. It's going to be a fun event. And it ends at midnight, and you can go after midnight and do something else, I guess, if you like to party. But anyway, that's what's going on, and that's what this interview is about with Lucy Dalton. Stay tuned. I'll be back to close the show after that.
Hey, I'm Dan Vonderhyde.
I'm Stephanie White.
We host a weekly podcast called
40-ish.
It's a show about life at middle age.
I'm not 40 yet.
Well, you're getting there eventually.
I guess.
So each week we talk about something that applies to the life of a middle-aged person. We drop a little bit of wisdom in every episode, and we go out and talk to people about their experiences.
And we laugh.
And we laugh a lot. It comes out every Tuesday. Make sure you download.
Tune in.
Today, I guess I should be saying it's almost New Year's Eve. I'm with Lucy Dalton at her beautiful home here in St. Matthews. Welcome, Lucy, to the show.
Good morning. I appreciate being here. Thank you.
What an exciting project you have going. You have done something that I guess it would normally take dozens of people to do. Tell me about New Year's Eve.
Well, it all got started in Boston. Actually, Boston in 1976 had an event called First Night, and they invited all the artists from the bedroom communities into Boston to display their art. And from there, it grew into a major performing arts evening. And they sold franchises.
Wow.
And it was in 200 cities at the time. Now, right now, it is down to, I think after the 1980s, it got down to, but it's in 70 other cities. So it's not a new concept. But it is new to Louisville.
Yeah, what took it so long to get here?
Well, it was a choice, and I'm not sure even who was aware of it. I was only aware of it because I got to go. And when I saw it, I thought, this is a great event. And I purchased the material to bring a franchise here. But Louisville, they weren't quite ready to do this yet. Although it was a great idea, they just weren't quite ready to do this. So I just put it in my file drawer and pulled it out about 5 years ago and then started again to try to bring this to Louisville.
So now it's happening. It's all scheduled. It's all planned. New Year's Eve. It's I was surprised you were able to get Main Street closed off between like 4th and 9th, right?
Exactly.
And you've got this great lineup of acts and artists that are coming in. Give me the highlights there.
Well, the most amazing thing is, yes, I could bring the idea to Louisville, but it takes a village to be able to put this on. And fortunately, we have some very talented people in PR, advertising, programming, logistics to be able to pull this off on New Year's Eve.
Okay.
Highlights of our programming, we have the Louisville Ballet, we have Shakespeare, we have Actors Theater. We have, we just got Dave Moisen from the Voice.
Now, there's one I've heard of. Okay, that's a big deal.
That is a big deal.
So he's going to sing right on a stage that they're going to set up right on Main Street.
Well, actually, he's going to sing. We've engaged several venues along Main Street, and the Kentucky Center has always been a partner of ours on this and very supportive of us. And they are allowing us to use their lobby that night. And we have programmed their lobby, and Dave will be in their lobby as one of the acts in their lobby that night.
Okay. And anybody can come down there. I guess there are tickets, though. It's not free.
There are tickets, and the tickets are $8 prior to the event, and you can get those on the Internet. New Year's Eve is our website. And $5 for children, $8 for adults, $5 to children. Then on that day, it becomes $10 for adult. Children do not change, and 5 and under are free.
How many people do you expect to come down there?
It's really hard to say, right? This is the first year, of course, that we have ever done this. And we are saying, rain or shine, be sure to come, because 99% of our venues are inside, except, of course, for the main stage.
Okay.
So we are predicting we're hoping 15,000, 20,000 people. And these other cities that have been having it for several years, they are getting up to 30,000 to 60,000 people for their event that evening.
And I understand, like all the museums down there are participating, the Fraser and the Baseball, the Slugger, and
all
those guys.
That's correct. They're all, they're all coming in and doing this wonderful thing. They usually have great exhibits. That day, we are adding New Year's Eve. They're adding to all their great exhibits with balloon makers, children's workshops, face painting.
Wow, a lot of stuff going on.
A lot of stuff, particularly between 2 and 4. Our children and families are between 2 and 4. And so we have a lot of people in Louisville that say, I always wanted to do something with my children on New Year's Eve. This is an opportunity, and it fills a major gap in the Louisville landscape for New Year's Eve, because there is nothing like this for families going on.
Exactly. And I guess I just thought of this, but I don't know what your reaction was to all these football games being scheduled. They're in the morning of the day of your event. I guess people can watch the games and come on down, right?
I thought, how convenient that they scheduled them in the morning. Yes.
Worked out just fine, didn't it?
It certainly did.
All right. So you started this this thing, but you've been in Louisville a long time. Tell me a little bit about what brought you to this. I guess you have a great interest in the arts.
I do have a great interest in the arts, and that's been a passion of mine for a long time. I am from Louisville. I lived in Lexington with my husband for about 10 years, And we came back to Louisville about 20 years ago. And I decided to pull this out of my desk drawer and see if we couldn't make a go of it after 1980. And so we've been able to raise the awareness and raise the interest to be able to do this.
Okay. So you expect this to become an annual event, but tell me a little bit about the you didn't just create an event. There's an organization, right?
There is an organization. Well, we wanted a nonprofit status for New Year's Eve, and we saw in the other cities where they had umbrella organizations. For example, in Pittsburgh, they had the Pittsburgh Cultural Trust, and they hung First Night, which is the name of their celebration, they hung First Night under this nonprofit umbrella, and then they have another great event called Three Rivers Art Festival, which they hang on the other end around June. And so we thought, well, you know, while we're doing this, instead of just getting a nonprofit status for New Year's Eve, let's form one of these nonprofit umbrellas that we call Arts and Cultural Events Foundation, ACE for short. And now we have New Year's Eve under that. And perhaps in the future, there will be another nonprofit organization that we could hang on the other end around June.
Okay. Another event.
Another event.
Like this, which would be great and which would not be so... We wouldn't have to worry so much about the weather for that one.
We don't worry about the weather, Rick, because we have 99% of our venues are inside, with the exception of the main stage.
Okay.
And in all these other cities, and I've been to Raleigh, St. Louis for New Year's Eve, everyone comes out anyway. It's kind of a cozy night. It's wonderful. It's
so
great.
You've been to a lot of these. So you've been to a lot of different places on New Year's Eve.
I certainly have.
Like
checking them out. Yes.
Well, now I understand getting this going has been a process. And you got the mayor on board. Tell me about that.
Well, that was kind of a fun process because back around 4 years ago, I went to the mayor with this proposal, and he read it, and he said, Lucy, he said, this is a great idea. You go do it. So, as he said...
He didn't get out his checkbook.
He didn't get out his checkbook.
No,
okay. No. But, you know, I did not expect that either. And it has been a process to get this going. I would easily admit that. I have a partner in this. Her name is Deb Delore. And she entered about 2.5 years ago. And so together we have put together a team of people, a village, I would say, very talented village to get this thing up and going.
Wow. Well, it sounds very exciting, and it's amazing. Louisville is such a city of events and parties and all that. And I guess, you know, I paid attention New Year's Eve. It seems like there's never been a really big event downtown on New Year's Eve, right?
There really hasn't. Last year, the Yum Center had an event. However, it started at 10 o'clock. It was very pricey, adult-oriented. So there's really never been anything like this. We're family-oriented, and it goes from 2 to midnight. And, Rick, let me tell you, at midnight, what we are doing, on the main stage, we have the Billy Goat Strut Review, and they will be playing Auld Lang Syne as we're counting down to midnight. We will also be lifting up Kentucky's largest disco ball.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, there's something. The largest disco. So last time, so you said it's a family event primarily, but at the at some point there's an adult beverage tent I saw. And so I guess it transforms, becomes more of an adult event.
Well, sure. I mean, you know, as the children have to go to bed at night. But anyway, from 2 to 4, it's very child-oriented, and we're using all the museums between 7th and 9th Street. And they are doing what they usually do, except New Year's Eve is programming on top of what they usually do.
Okay.
And then at around 5 o'clock, we get all the children together, and they march down Main Street in a people's procession.
Wow, a parade.
A parade. Very loose parade, organic parade. Anyway, anybody can join, anybody can be a part of it. And they march down Main Street to the main stage, which is at 5th and Main. And there they disperse. And then we start on the main stage with live music. And then we move to a disc jockey. And then we move back to live music. And from 7 to 11:30, we have engaged 17 venues along Main Street. We have over 40 performances, and so you can pick and choose anything that you would like to go to that night, which would include dancing, singing, music. We have an improv group, so just a lot of fun things to choose from.
Okay, okay. So the disco ball goes up at midnight, and then I guess we all got to go home?
Only if you want to. We will be closing down right after that, but that's up to you.
All right. Well, Lucy, it's been a lot of fun learning about this. Thank you for bringing this great event to our city. It sounds like it's going to be a ball.
Rick, it is my pleasure to talk to you this morning, too, and I appreciate your coming back.
All right, Rusty Satellite Show 179 Close. And a big thank you to Lucy Dalton for being on the show this week, and to Mindy Peterson for explaining the Bridges project to us in such a clear and concise, entertaining way. I'm looking so forward to getting on that bridge. December 18th, you can be part of that entourage going across the East End Bridge for the first time. As much as we like to criticize it, and yes, it was quite a boondoggle, the money that was spent out there on that Drew Menard estate, it costs so much more than it should have to taxpayers, but that's, as they say, water under the bridge. We now have a great bridge system, and Utica, Indiana will be a place that, you know, you can now get to from the East End, from Prospect. So anyway, that's going to be a big change in our community, a big change about the way we get around. I'm happy to see it. I never thought I would. Mozart in the Jungle, that's the name of that Amazon series I'm looking forward to. I'll be watching that as soon as it comes out. I think it comes out this month. A lot of good stuff on TV, really too much to keep track of. This show isn't about TV anyway, except for some of our local media personalities who occasionally make us appear on the show. I didn't mention one of them, Dawn G, basically Louisville sweetheart. She has suffered a stroke on the air about a week ago, and there's a lot of stories on Wave about her recovery. I wish her the best. She is a very nice person, very, very wonderful to be around, and has just unfortunately had a lot of health problems in her life. So anyway, that's all we have for the Rusty Satellite Show this week. I am very happy to thank my sponsors, Passport Health Plan and the Eye Care Institute down on Story Avenue. Hope that you will patronize those folks. And again, thank you to all the folks who helped me put this show together, and encourage you to also check out eatdrinktalk.net. Eat, Drink, Talk, the podcast, airs every week right here on the Louisville.am network. Until next week, when I'll be back with two more of the most interesting people in the Ville, this is Rick Redding, your host of the Rusty Satellite Show.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to LouisvilleKY.com, the pulse of the city.
Airplanes in the buildings every time I